Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Free K 12 Education Talk Radio. It's Monday morning, and it's a pleasure to have you here with us right now, or if you're sleeping in today, which I don't blame you for. It's a nice summer's day. Okay, then you can listen on the archives. We archive every show over at education-talkradio.org, which, as you probably know, is our website, education-talkradio.org. We have every show we've ever done over there since 2011. Check out where it says past shows up there. And if you scroll down, you'll see shows we've done the last couple of weeks. We've got a nice news section up there as well. So please, education-talkradio.org. Please go over, join our equity consortium. It's free to educators. It includes a free subscription to our online magazine, AC&E, Equity and Access. We are really trying to create a place where the industry and educators get together, okay, and talk about equity and accessibility for all children to be learning, and that's more important now than ever. It's called the American Consortium for Equity in Education. The American Consortium for Equity in Education. Our website is an acronym, ACE-ED, ACE-ED.org. So please go over there and join with us. We want your voice heard. And we can't thank you enough for doing that. We have a nice show for you this morning. I've got my good friends from Discovery here. Robin Porter is going to be representing them. Robin's their VP of digital content. And we're going to talk about how they put together content for you. We take it for granted, but it's not magic, believe me, although Robin is a magician of sorts and a juggler, I'm sure. But it's not magic how it all happens. Robin, are you there?
Larry, how are you this morning? Thanks so much for having me back.
It's a pleasure to have you back. And I spoke too soon. Maybe you are a magician. Are you a magician? I don't know that for a fact that you're not a magician.
Some days I feel like a magician. Some days I do.
Pull the rabbit out of the hat, but it is amazing. You know, by the way, I want to congratulate you guys. I got a press release last week. You won a big award from Tech and Learning. I don't know if you're up on that, but congratulations to you.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Larry. Really appreciate that.
That's a big deal. So I congratulate. I work a lot with you guys. It was a pleasure to see that happen from my good friends over at Tech and Learning Magazine, that whole thing. It's worth checking out over there. Congratulations, Discovery. Rob, you're VP of Digital Content. A, describe what that means, and then also give us your background, and then we'll put all that together and see how the queen of digital content came to rise to the throne.
Well, I love that title. I've now gone from magician to queen, so thank you, Larry. I'm looking forward
and
to
officially
see what other
VP,
titles
but
I'm
I like your majesty
program.
A lot better. I like your majesty a lot better.
Well, I can.
Oh, Rob, talk right into it. You're fading in and out. Talk right into your phone.
Okay. So, can you hear me, Larry?
Yeah, but it's still. There are times when you sound better. I don't know what you're doing.
Well, I'm going to go right here.
That's
work a little bit better.
Thank you. That's what you were doing.
All right.
Whatever it was, don't do that anymore. Stay where you are. Thank you. I want people to be able to hear.
No worries. So thanks for the question. Like so many of my colleagues at Discovery Education, I started in the classroom. I was a middle school language arts teacher in Maryland and Pennsylvania, and that's really where my heart is. and when I was teaching, I was always really curious about new resources that I could use to engage my students. And I won't give my age away, but back then that was before digital content as we know it today, certainly. So kind of my first entree into some of those resources was really looking at media, particularly newspapers and education. And that led me to some great discussions with the folks at USA Today. And that led to a job there. That was my first job outside of education. I worked at USA Today. I love the news. I'm a news junkie at heart. And so I started out in product development there. I ended up creating their website for educators, created a national adopted journalist program, worked in partnerships. And really that started my love of that convergence of media and education and technology. and stayed at USA Today for a number of years and ended up starting my own company where I work with several different media companies and brands and businesses to help create education resources. And one of those was Discovery Networks and Discovery Education. And so at the time, I created all the education resources for the Discovery Channel, Science Channel, Animal Planet family. And also did Food Network and HGTV, which is now part of the Discovery family as well, and did a number of resources for Discovery Education. And about 8 years ago, in conversations with the folks at Discovery Education, a full-time job opened up in the content department, and I've been there ever since.
Wow.
So it's just a wonderful place to work, as I know you know, Larry.
Oh,
and
yeah.
My role there is really, as you said, to lead the digital content team. And so in a headline, what that means is I work with an incredible group of former educators and library specialists, media specialists, content specialists, and data scientists. And we take care of the incredible content collection that's part of Discovery Education's collection. So that's about 190,000 digital assets strong in about 38 different languages. And so just an incredible collection. And we work to evaluate and produce and acquire and then curate that content for educators and students.
That was really terrific. And I got to tell you, you said so many things. First of all, I come out of the classroom as well. And as you know, I do this, and I'm also the publisher of a magazine. And your point, you said you work with other people who have been educators. And I always like to make that point sometimes. And I'm not encouraging people to leave the classroom. Don't misunderstand that. But sometimes, okay, teachers get a feeling they can't do anything else but be in the classroom, okay? And, A, we've got a whole educational industry out there. Okay, that can always use and is dying for your expertise. All right, and Robin, that was terrific. Congratulations on that course of your professional life, because it just proves that what teachers are capable of doing. You being a standout in that field, I mean, it's just great. And wow, USA Today, I love it. Then onward to Discovery and all the TV, really cool stuff, Rob. I got to tell you, I'm very impressed.
Well, thank you. It's been a great journey. And I will say that educators really, as you know, Larry, continue to be part of our work at Discovery Education. As we look at content and evaluate content and produce content, we really engage with teachers along the way. So they continue to be a really important part of my journey and certainly an important part of our collection.
The industry wants your expertise, everybody. Don't forget that. Robin's story is classic. And also, you said something just struck me amazing. 190,000 pieces of digital content? 190,000? Is that what you said?
That is correct. And growing. And growing. We add about 500 new pieces of content each month. So that number continues to grow. We're very proud of it and excited to talk about it today.
You should be. By the way, I meant to ask you, where in Pennsylvania are you from? Where'd you teach?
So I'm from outside of Philadelphia.
Me too.
I taught in the suburbs of Philadelphia.
Which one?
I'm from Council Rock School District. Big
Council
Eagles fan,
Rock,
which
that?
I think you
That's
may be as
Germany.
Well, Larry. I think. Yeah.
Right?
So
yeah.
We're neighbors.
Yeah, Council Rock is good. I said, do you remember I taught in Cheltenham? Did I tell you that?
I didn't remember that you taught in Cheltenham,
yeah.
But I did know that you were from the Philadelphia area.
Yeah, how about that? Where'd you go to college? I went to Westchester. That's why I
went
asked.
To Penn State.
Never
yep,
heard of
I
it.
Went to Penn
no,
State.
No, I love Penn State. I love Penn State. That's where I met my wife. Okay? Cool. Okay, but I went to Westchester. Okay? Really cool. That's great stuff. And you grew up where? Which town? Council Rock?
I grew up in Richboro.
Okay.
Are you familiar with Richboro, Larry?
Yeah, which high school did you go to?
I went to Council Rock as well. So
you went to Council Rock,
I ended
okay.
Up teaching? Yep, I did.
Okay. You went to Council Rock, you wound up teaching at Council Rock, right?
That's right. Yep.
Wow, I'm impressed. This is amazing. Well, my wife's going to Central Bucks. I went to school in Philadelphia, so there you go. Okay, really cool
We're
stuff.
All neighbors.
Philadelphians, what can I tell you? At least close enough to call ourselves Philadelphians, etc. I want to ask you this, and this is key. We're going to talk about how you develop it. But when you say there's 190,000 pieces of digital content at Discovery, All right. What is a piece of digital content, as you say that? Define that. Is it a video? How do you describe it? Yeah.
So we have about, I know educators are very familiar with the video content in our collection, and certainly there's a lot of video content in there. We also have a number of other digital assets. We have about 50 different digital asset types within the collection. So that's everything from videos, as we said, to audiobooks, podcasts, interactives, instructional resources, studio boards, text, reading passages, encyclopedia articles, e-learning. So we have all of these different types of assets in the collection. And I would say that certainly video is among our most popular, but we're really also seeing an emergence of audiobooks and podcasts, multimodal opportunities for students to learn. So we're continuing to look for new types of digital content and produce new types of digital content as well.
That's cool. And we're going to talk about some of the stuff that's upcoming and what you're looking at now. It's really amazing when you think about that. Okay, all the very things, and I'm curious, how there's 190,000 pieces of content, I'll call it that, okay, content pieces. You don't have 190,000 people working for you. How do you keep track of that all? How do you find it? Where does it come from?
That is an excellent question. So I wish I had 190,000 people working for me. That is definitely a dream.
You're close. You'll be there. Yeah.
Just a couple more.
Yeah.
Really, you know, one of the most important promises we make to educators is that all of the content in our collection is vetted and trusted, appropriate
right.
for instructional use, and highly curated. And so a really important part of our process is that evaluation piece, which is really at the foundation of everything that we do. So we're constantly evaluating the collection as a whole. We're evaluating individual content pieces. And we're also very selective in the content partners that we choose to add to our collection. So we are lucky that we just have a great group of content partners who are like-minded. They have an authentic commitment to education. But as we look for the assets to add to the collection, we're really looking for assets that are instructionally strong, mm-hmm. highly engaging to students. We look for content that represents all students. So you talked about equity, and I know that's a big
nice.
Part of your work, Larry.
Oh, yeah.
So culturally responsive education and looking at resources from a culturally responsive lens is a big part of our evaluation process, high production quality. And so, you know, we're fortunate that we do have a number of partners that meet this litmus test. But I will tell you that, as I said at the beginning, that we are very selective and we do take the evaluation process of our content development ecosystem very seriously.
I know you do. I know you do. And you're using the word, and I just want to clarify it for the audience, using the word partners, okay? Give an example of a partner, just so people can get that picture in their mind.
Absolutely. So in the last year, we've brought on 21 new great content partners. And to just give you an example of a couple of those, World Wildlife Fund is a great partner of ours. And we have incredible videos and images from their great content library within Discovery Education Experience and our science tech book, NASA. We've had a partnership with them where we bring in just tremendous content from their library, the NBA and MLB, so partners from the sports world
joke,
that we work with.
Yeah, Major League Baseball, if I can say that. Major League Baseball, too, if I'm not mistaken, right?
And MLB and Major League Baseball is back, and we're so excited. So we produced a great series of STEM career videos with Major League Baseball, and we're about to bring into our collection some great resources from the history of the Negro League that's part of their archive. Teaching Tolerance is a new partner of ours, which is the education arm of the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Nice.
And they have just an incredible, robust collection. Common Sense Education, which focuses, as you know, on incredible resources for digital citizenship. And one that a new partner that we're really excited about that may be lesser known is BASE, which is a media platform that was started by actress Zoe Saldana. She has mixed-race children, and she didn't see her children really represented in media, so she created this incredible media platform with producers who create a really great collection of videos featuring people from throughout history that may be lesser known stories that you wouldn't see in textbooks, features stories of kids from underrepresented cultures around the country who are seeing problems in their community and they want to change those, great reading passages. And so that's a fairly new collection
that's
been added to Discovery Education Resources. And we really, really love their content, really proud of that partnership.
And Zoe Saldana is a good actress. What's the name of that collection again?
That's called Base is the company, and that comes from the English word be and then the Spanish word say. So to be seen or to show how you exist is how that is represented.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Congratulations on all of that stuff. And you actually started to answer this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What's important these days, okay, and I'm going to ask you a couple of questions like this. We have COVID going on, and we also have, and I'm going to kind of lump these things together because I think it all came to the forefront. We have social justice, which leads to culture, which leads to culturally competent education. You kind of mentioned, you touched on this, but I want to get into that. And then you said things these days, teachers are looking for ways to be culturally responsive. School districts are looking for ways because maybe that's been overlooked for too long. You guys have been pretty good on this for a while. But just talk about that aspect of it, culturally responsive.
Yeah, so that has been, as you mentioned, Larry, an incredibly important focus and tenet for Discovery Education for a very long time.
It has been.
Certainly with some of the recent events that have happened and the protests that students have so beautifully been a part of, that equity has really emerged as a focus within classrooms and particularly within the resources that educators are choosing. You know, one of the most important choices that educators make every day is the resources that they're going to bring into their classrooms and share with their students and build instructional resources around.
Right.
And so we want to ensure that our collection is very diverse, very representative of the students that are in classrooms. We believe that all students should really see themselves in the media that they see and in the content that they use in the classroom. So that diversity is an important part of our collection. But beyond that, in terms of cultural responsiveness, that certainly, as you know, Larry, goes beyond just the diversity. It's really ensuring that we're validating and affirming the experiences of students, particularly in underrepresented cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have recently worked to ensure that the rubric that we use is very representative of cultural responsiveness, that validation and affirmation is one of the things that we're using as part of our evaluation process that I talked about earlier.
Yeah.
And we've evaluated our resources, and we certainly look as we evaluate new content and new collections to ensure that we have diversity, that we have equity, and that there's a very authentic validation and affirmation, as I said, particularly of underrepresented cultures within our collection.
And, you know, that's so important these days, Robin. Thank you. That was an excellent example. But, you know, teachers are having trouble. I'll say it this way. A lot of teachers are having trouble with, quote, and not now, it's pretty much summertime for everybody now, but when the school was in session during COVID, having trouble with, quote, attendance, okay? A lot of kids were just checking out, or some of them said they were lucky if they got 30% of their kids. And one of the reasons for that, and again, we all got caught in this with no real help, but now we're getting it together. And one of the reasons for this is that we have to really engage students. We can't use our personalities, so to speak, as much as we could. And a lot of it is going to be determined by the content that's there. And to get kids, especially kids underrepresented groups, really interested in their learning, we have to be sure that we're giving them content that represents them. All right? And I love the fact that you guys are doing that. That is much more important now. It's always been important. It's kind of been overlooked and underrepresented, if I may. Now we're into it, okay? And it's more important now than ever. We have to engage all children. Right, Rob? That was a good speech, right?
That was an excellent speech, and you couldn't be more accurate, Larry. It's a personal passion of mine, I will say. It's a passion of our entire team. And we're doing a lot, as you know, with equity at Discovery Education. We through the protests, or as the protests happened, created a whole content collection that we call Channels that I'm happy to speak about as well, a highly curated collection of content in a channel called that's called Dissent, Equity, and Inspiring Inspiring Change. And it's just a wonderfully robust, very, very highly curated collection of resources for students in grades K through 12 that really helps them understand the role of protest in our nation's history, understand their constitutional and civil rights, and really look at change makers and equity warriors that are helping to create incredible change around the world. So their digital content is really a way to kind of help to bridge and showcase stories and people so that students really do see themselves. And we have a saying at Discovery that I may have shared on your program before, Larry, that students can't be it if they can't see it. And so they really want to see themselves as change makers and equity warriors themselves. And so it's just really been a terrific process and a terrific collection to build.
Yeah, it is. And Rob, let me ask you this, and I don't mean for this question to catch you off guard. I don't actually know how to do this, but being culturally responsive is something that's really forcing us to change, and it's a good change, all right? And that's easy. What you said you were an ELA teacher, English Language Arts?
I was, yep.
Okay, and I was a history teacher. And those two subjects are really a lot easier to deal with, okay, in terms of making it more culturally responsive. And I'm just curious about this, okay, not to put you on the spot again. Can we do the same thing in science and in math? How do we – and I don't know if you put any thought into this, but just a question I'd just like to ask you on that. And feel free to say I'm working on that and leave it at that, but I'm just curious.
No. I'm happy to talk about it, and the answer is absolutely. I think one part of that is with the digital content, certainly – students seeing stories and content that is very representative of them and their lives. And the other piece of that is certainly in instruction. So one part of it's the content, but really that content has to be added in the way that we're teaching. And so ensuring that and that's in any subject area. So, and we have a lot of really incredible educators who are doing great work in this space, and it's all a journey, and they're sort of on a journey to learn more and listen and ensure that they are doing the very best that they can. And so it's also in validating students from their home cultures and affirming them, as I said, from their home cultures. So it does go, cultural responsiveness does go beyond just the content that you're sharing with students. It's really all part of that instructional experience as well. And that's certainly in any subject and in any classroom.
It sure is. And I'm always reminded when I talk about this, we think of cultural responsive maybe for Latino or Latin American or African American kids, okay? And we think of that kind of thing, culturally responsive. But the thing I would like to talk about with that, Robin, you can take this one to the bank, is that all kids love music, or at least most kids love music, okay? And mathematics is music. And kids always struggle with math. And I hope that we are able to be culturally responsive in terms of music and say, hey, you like this? There's the math behind it. And show how that makes sense. See what three-quarter beat means and that kind of thing. I always thought that was kind of a fun thing that we never really tapped on as much as we should. Am I brilliant or what?
You are brilliant, Larry.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Completely objective opinion. Thank you so much. Okay, I'm only doing this because I know my wife is listening, but I think I'm just brilliant when it comes to that. Okay.
I'll be sure to send her an email after.
Thank you. I was just brilliant. Sincerely, Robin. Thank you. Okay. Dear Carolyn, it's like this. Yeah, what do you see coming down the pike, the next big thing in digital content area? Do you see just more culturally responsive, or do you see going deeper than that?
I mean, I don't think of culturally responsive teaching and learning necessarily as the next big thing. I think it's certainly something that is going to continue to be a focus of educators and ensuring that there's equity and cultural responsiveness in the resources and the teaching and learning. I would say I don't know. I think you could argue that there may not be just one next big thing, but I know something that we're really, really
good
looking
enough.
At and investing in terms of our resources and development is immersive experiences like VR and AR.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, we know there's a really high degree of student engagement in these immersive experiences, and that they're incredibly powerful to teach concepts and build empathy. And take students to places and
mm-hmm.
to meet people that they may never
Again,
otherwise
now
meet.
More than ever.
I think the challenge becomes how do we ensure that it's easy to use. There's equity even for educators, and equity in the technology certainly for students, but
mm-hmm.
also that it can be instructionally sound. So a lot of our work
yeah.
is looking at how we can ensure that there's a direct connection to learning, teaching and learning for those immersive experiences, and that there's authentic, meaningful activity behind it. And so that's something that we are really focusing on at Discovery Education. And I think certainly as we live in this COVID world where we're not sure exactly what next year will look like in terms of students being in school or home or sort of a hybrid model, these immersive experiences will just provide
yeah.
Really a great way to kind of continue that learning process and continue to engage students really no matter where learning is taking place.
Yeah, and in a way, and I don't misunderstand what I'm saying here because COVID is no fun, but it's opening up doors and giving us an opportunity to really see things and make changes. Okay, so there is, I mean, I hate to say this because there's no good coming out of it, but there is this little bit of good. Okay, then hopefully it'll say, oh, here's where we were, here's where we need to be, that's not going to happen again, we're going to make it better. And I just hope good things come out of this disaster we all find ourselves in. And Rob, let me ask you this. You work with how many thousands, if not millions of teachers, okay, across the world, but I'll just focus on the U.S. As COVID, and again, everybody got caught short, okay, and nobody knew, we tried our best and we did pretty darn good. All right. But what are you hearing from educators about what they need now that we know that COVID is in place and something's going to be different next year, next school year, which, by the way, in some cases, I think in Florida starts in 2 weeks. OK, so what's going on? What have they been asking for?
So I will say that, some of the things that we've talked about, certainly that we're delivering education content that they can trust and that is
yep,
vetted and that,
always did.
That they know has instructional purpose and engaging to students. They're looking for professional development and content that can be used in a flexible way. So if they're teaching synchronously, if they're teaching asynchronously, it's content that they can use no matter what that delivery mechanism is.
That's interesting.
They're looking for certainly the cultural responsive resources and looking at ways that they can ensure that they can reach students no matter where they are. It's such an incredible time of uncertainty, and so
yep.
just the idea of flexibility and assistance in teaching in all of the different possible ways that they may be delivering content is really important. Mm-hmm. And so we have content that they trust, and certainly professional development is a big part of our commitment and focus in helping educators teach no matter where they are. And so, and then just the idea of all of that being very easy for them to use and very easy
for
their students to use is really key. They're not with their students in a lot of these cases. They're not necessarily going to be able to help them. So just ensuring that students can have easy access, equitable access, and engaging access to the resources. Those are things that we're hearing that teachers are really looking for this fall. And I will say that I come from education, Larry, as do you. My heart's in the classroom, and I am just continue to be incredibly inspired by the Herculean efforts of educators. Their job is always, always difficult, but just what we've seen and the conversations that we've had and the commitment and dedication of educators this past spring and certainly as we go into an uncertain fall is just incredibly inspiring.
It sure is, and it has been an amazing piece of work by educators. We did the best we could. We did not close down. and when we saw things that were inequitable, we tried to change them. That's everybody. And I want to say something else. The industry, like Discovery and all the other companies that did this, you made things available for educators. Okay, just boom.
That's
here
right.
It is.
We did.
Yeah, it's there for you.
Absolutely.
Okay,
yep.
It didn't matter if they were, quote, a client
experience.
Or not. And Discovery is a leader in that, but a lot of other companies did the same exact thing. I think it's just that was terrific, too. Okay, everybody stepped up to the plate and did the best we could. You're not going to hit a home run every time. Okay, but we kept moving runners around the bases. It was a long inning.
That's right.
We'll see what
happens.
Right.
I think that was just an incredible example of everyone coming together to do what was right for educators and students. And you know, I think that we certainly have services that were kind of built for this moment in terms of being digital and allowing students and educators to teach and learn from wherever they were. And so making those resources available to educators for free was kind of Discovery Education's part in trying to ensure that we were banding together to do whatever we could from our end to help in what was just an incredibly difficult period of time.
It sure is, and I don't know whether it was going to get a little easier, but at least we know now what we're up against, okay? And we're working to make it all happen. And by the way, I love what you said. You have you're doing a lot of stuff. The things they want in professional development and the ability to teach either synchronously or non-synchronously with the materials you're giving. That were two key points that you made, Robin. Good. What can I say? Thank you so much. This was just wonderful. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much to my fellow Philadelphian.
You got that
great
right.
To be with you, as always. Thanks for having me back. And I hope everyone has a great day.
Yeah, you too. I'll give you the other ones. We have to sign off always with this. Stay safe. Okay, I say this to everybody. Don't get complacent. This thing isn't over yet, right?
That's right, Larry. Yeah. Absolutely. Thanks so much, and thanks to your audience for tuning in today, and thanks to all the educators out there who are doing such great things.
Thank you, Robin Porter, VP of the Queen, Your Majesty, but for some reason they call you Vice President of Digital Content, the Queen of Digital Content.
I know, I'm
going to
get
Discovery.
My business cards changed immediately.
There you go. I mean, really, the robes, wear the summer robes, not the heavy velvet ones. It's summertime. Okay?
Exactly. Thanks, Larry. Have a great day.
Thanks, Rob. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. Robin Porter, she's great. It's a good company, Discovery. You know it's Discovery Education. I think you can find it on the web. But it's really interesting where they have things have changed and put things together and make certain things more available and all that sort of stuff. It's really cool when you think about all the things. You can multiply that times 5,000, which is all the companies there are in education. Okay, they're all doing just a great job. And I found Robin's background really interesting. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. We shall tweet it out over at EduTalk Radio. Excuse me. We link in at Larry Jacobs, and we Facebook at EduTalk Radio and Larry Jacobs. Please go over to the American Consortium for Equity in Education. That's at ace-ed.org. Everything we do over there is free to educators. ace-ed.org. We want your voice heard. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll say it again. Don't get complacent. Stay safe.